Hi, folks. I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Welcome to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. This is episode whatever. I don't know what episode number this is. I'm driving in the Handgun World Mobile Studio, and I am not going to look at my phone and drive and be a safe driver. And I can't remember exactly how many episodes I've put up so far. But anyway, you will figure it out when you download it. So, as I mentioned, I'm in the luxurious, elegant Handgun World Mobile Studio, my 13-year-old Honda with 154,000 miles on it. Yeah, you know what's interesting? This doesn't have anything to do with guns, but I was reading the USA Today newspaper. I don't read it that often anymore. I used to, but I was on an airplane and I was reading the paper, and I saw an article that the average car on the road, the average privately owned car, is 11.5 years old in America today. Did you realize that? I didn't realize that. That's actually a lot older than I thought. The average car is 11.5 years old. I actually think that's a good thing. I mean, for people that sell new cars, it might not. Although it did say that they do expect 2015 to be a very, very healthy year for new car sales. So go figure. They just said people are keeping cars longer because cars are better built, more reliable these days than they were even 20 years ago. And, you know, that all manufacturers are pretty much making good vehicles and people are hanging on to them. And I think big, heavy car payments get to a lot of people, too, that they don't like. They get to me. It's one reason why. My two cars, this one here is 13 years old, and the other one that I have is 8 years old. So, hey, you average the two, 13 years old and 8 years old, and I'm right about there, about 11 years old. Pretty close. So that's the average age of my vehicle. So anyway, let's get to guns. This past week, I decided to give my Smith & Wesson M&P Shield, the single stack 9 that I like the most, that I think is the best single stack 9mm purchase you can make. I gave that pistol to my son as an early 18th birthday present. Reason I did that is the last time he and I went shooting, he did very well with my shield, my M&P shield. He did real well with it, and we were having a discussion, and you know, I asked him if he'd like to have his own pistol, and he said yes. And so it's going to stay in my possession. It's going to stay in my safe, but it's going to be his firearm. I'm not going to touch it. I am not going to shoot that pistol or carry that pistol anymore because it's his. So that's his gun now to use whenever we go to the range to practice or train. I'm talking to him about getting into a training class. I don't want to teach the training class that he takes. I think he needs to learn from somebody else. So I most likely am going to get him into one of John Payne's Suarez International CRG-1, close range gunfighting level 1, which is basically the beginning level of the CRG series of training classes that Suarez International puts on. So John's teaching that class towards the end of September. So anyway, now I'm without an M&P Shield 9mm for now, but I'm still going to do the single stack 9 challenge. So I'm in the Handgun World Mobile Studio headed to a gun show. How about that? Fun times, huh? I went to a gun show last weekend too, and I don't go to gun shows much anymore. I used to go to them all the time. I don't go to them much anymore, but I'm going to the Saxit Gun Show here in San Antonio. I think it's the biggest one. I know it's the biggest one in San Antonio, probably the biggest one in the state, or one of the biggest ones in the state. I'll probably pick up another M&P Shield while I'm there. I'll probably walk over to Sparks Firearms tables and ask Ben Branham to sell me a new shield so I can finish up this single stack challenge. I got a holster in for the XDS, and I'm waiting on another holster for the XDS. I ordered from Jason Christensen an ASP 2.0 appendix carry holster for the XDS 9mm. Now, one nice thing about Jason's products, and I, again, Jason is not a sponsor of the show. I just happen to use his products, and I like them a lot. For those of you who are new, concealmentsolutions.com is where you can find it. Anyway, the ASP 2.0 you can use as a behind-the-hip holster or appendix carry. Works great for both. For small guns, it's pretty good for behind-the-hip carry. You know, for larger guns where you have a lot of weight, you're probably better off getting the Black Mamba or a similar type of holster like that, or carrying outside the waist like I'm doing today. While I'm in the Handgun World Mobile Studio, I'm carrying outside the waistband today. I'm carrying my Glock 19 outside the waistband. Still conceals very nice. As long as you get the proper holster and the proper belt, it conceals very nicely outside the waistband. People can't tell I'm carrying a gun. It's almost 100 degrees, and I'm wearing one of those Hawaiian-style shirts, and it's not baggy. It's not baggy. Now, I've dropped about 28 pounds since about a year ago today. Well, let's see. Let me do some math here. 27 pounds. I've dropped 27 pounds in the last year. Now, of course, I wouldn't recommend my weight loss program. My weight loss program was several months of very intense cancer treatments. And I wouldn't recommend that as a weight loss program. No, but anyway, it's nice that I've lost 27 pounds. So my shirts now, they're not real baggy, but they're not tight anymore either. Hey, by the way, folks, pray for me. I had a PET scan yesterday. A PET scan is positron emissions tomography. And if you don't know what that is, it's a method. It's a scan for cancer, and it's a CT scan all combined. It's one of the most reliable tests to screen for cancer. Pray that that's negative. I had an MRI done on my back, and the radiologist saw some stuff he didn't like, so he recommended, or my oncologist recommended that I have a PET scan. So please pray for me that it's negative, so I can stick around for a while. It's my goal to serve God every day and to serve Him as long as I am on this planet. It's my goal to take care of my family. It's my goal to influence people as much as I can. In that order, God, family, and then work, fun, influencing people, things like that. So pray for me. I need it, and pray for a negative result. I'll probably get those results Monday or Tuesday, shortly after this podcast releases. So anyway, speaking of the single stack challenge, Ben Branham gave me a nice 100-round course of fire to use to test these single stack 9mm. So I'm going to do that. It's pretty cool. It's doing a lot of different things. And I'll probably stretch that to about 125 to 150 rounds. For those of you that don't know, what I'm doing with the single stack 9 challenge is I'm probably going to compare 7 or 8 different single stack 9mm. Because these things are so popular, I'm going to take about the next 9 months to do it. I'm going to start over the next 3 or 4 months training and practicing and carrying the M&P Shield, once I get another one, the XDS, the Glock 43, and the Kar PM9. After I finish up with those, I'll probably do a Ruger LC9S Pro, because I like that Pro. I got a chance to dry fire one of those, and that's a sweet trigger on that. I might even do, see if I can find, if I can get my hands on an H&K gun, I may do that. I might do the SIG 938, maybe. I think I might do the SIG 938, although that gun's been out for a while. I don't know if you know people who have actually put these guns through the test. And when I say through the test, I mean lots of draws from the holster, lots of putting the first one or two rounds on target, lots of 125, 150 round drills, testing for reliability, shootability, quick, smooth, and easy draws from the holster, and probably one of the most important things for any defensive handgun, the two most important things, I think, for any defensive handgun, ultra reliability. You got to have reliability. You just have to. That's absolutely number one. Reliability is more important than any kind of little doodad features, any kind of accuracy or inherent accuracy that supposedly your pistol has. It's more important than sights. You know, it's even more important than your ammunition. Of course, your ammunition can lead to either good or bad reliability. So, but that's first and foremost. The thing has to go bang and cycle another round or two or three so it can go bang, bang, bang again. And if it doesn't do that, then keep it in the safe and use it as a range toy. Or if you can't afford to do that, give it a new home and get something that's ultra reliable. I shake my head sometimes when I'm on the internet. And of course, you know, I have to realize that everything on the internet's true, right? Of course, if it's on the internet, it's got to be true. No. I only believe a very small fraction of, well, I shouldn't say small fraction, but I don't believe everything I see on the internet. But there are some people that I'm sure are telling the truth. And they talk about their guns, and they talk about their guns malfunctioning, and you know, how many malfunctions I had over this many rounds and things like that. And they talk about their guns continuing to malfunction. You know, and sometimes I'll see a post where somebody puts up there on a gun forum where they make a post, oh, yeah, I had this many malfunctions and this many rounds and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, a week or two later, oh, I took it out again and I had a few more malfunctions and this many rounds and sent it back to the manufacturer and got it back. And then there's a post another month or two later and it's still malfunctioning. And I'm thinking, you know, if you can't fix the malfunctions and you send it to the manufacturer and it comes back and it's still malfunctioning, don't carry that gun. Don't rely on that gun. Now, it may not always be the gun's fault. I understand. You know, sometimes I'm really convinced that sometimes a gun is just not right for a person. And it just doesn't feel right, and it doesn't... When a person shoots a firearm, some people just don't agree with some firearms. And there can be shooter-induced malfunctions. It may not necessarily be the gun's fault. But that doesn't really matter. Even if they're shooter-induced malfunctions, don't keep and carry that gun. Well, you can keep it, but don't carry it. Find a different firearm that you can shoot that you won't have shooter-induced malfunctions, or that the gun won't malfunction, because you've got to have reliability. So that's going to be the number one test of these single-stack 9mm that I'm going to test. And I think that what I'm probably going to find is that they're all pretty reliable, because just like automobile manufacturers are making real good cars these days, firearms manufacturers are making good guns these days. It's really difficult. It's difficult to buy a bad gun. Yeah, there might be lemons out there. Every manufacturer has a lemon here and there, but for the most part, firearms, and I'm talking about any firearm, whether it's a handgun, shotgun, rifle, they're quality made these days. You know, here in 2015 and probably since the year about 2001 or 2, or maybe even, you know, since about 2000, gun manufacturers have really been making some quality firearms at decent prices. So I think that's a cool thing. And so anyway, I'm also going to be testing shootability. When I say shootability, let me define that, because, you know, I'm not sure if that's a word, but that's a word that a lot of people in the firearms community use. Shootability. And of course, it'll be for me. It's not going to be for everybody else. So what I find is going to be shootable for me might not be shootable for everybody else. But I am going to be looking for how easy is it going to be able to draw that gun from different positions, like mostly from behind the hip and appendix carry, and place 2 to 3 real quick hits on target from probably 5, 10, and 15 yards. And what's the recoil impulse going to be like? And what is the follow-up shots going to feel like? You know, that's what I'm going to be looking at, because those, after reliability, being able to draw it, fire, get 2 to 3 rounds on hit, on target, 2 to 3 hits on target, that's the most important thing. You'll talk to many people who have been in a gunfight, and they will say the first couple, 2 or 3 rounds, are probably the most important, and making hits right away is probably the most important. We teach that in our training classes. We teach people how to draw and make those hits quickly. The first few hits are important. The art of making the first hit or the first couple hits, extremely important. So that's what I'm going to be testing with these firearms. I'm probably not going to be rolling the target out to 50 yards and testing the 50-yard accuracy of these guns. And, you know, when I say accuracy, there's all kinds of things that come into play when you talk about accuracy. One listener sent me a very good email recently about accuracy. And, you know, there are a lot of things that come into play. It's, first of all, there's the inherent accuracy of the firearm, which I believe all of them are fairly accurate, except for maybe a couple of real less expensive brands out there. I won't pick on any right now. The actual shooter, their trigger control. I mean, hey, trigger's everything, folks. Triggering your trigger control, that's everything. Well, okay, it's not everything. It's almost everything. And then you've got the ammunition. And I would say those are probably the most important factors right there in how accurate you can be with a firearm. So I'm going to be looking at that too. I can tell you that for me, I've been extremely accurate with my M&P Shield and my Glock 43. And of course, the Car PM9. I've had that Car PM9 for a long time. And all three of those, I can shoot very, very well. I still haven't got the XDS out to the range yet, but I will in a couple days. I'm going to get together with Ben. We're going to do some training and practicing before we head out to Seattle. Squim, Washington, actually, Fort Discovery, to team up with Glenn Tate and probably Powell from... Powell's a real person, by the way, you know, from the book series. Powell, the Korean gunfighter. Boy, is he good. He is good. He was there last year, and I'm pretty sure he's going to be there this year. Glenn Tate is delivering about a one-hour lecture during lunch on the first day. Still some room, folks. If you still want to get involved in that class, Ben Branham, myself, Glenn Tate, and Powell, we are going to be, for 2 days, teaching Beyond Concealed Carry Enhanced, second weekend in August. It's either the 8th and 9th. I think it's the 8th and 9th or 9th and 10th. Anyway, you can go to handgunworld.com. You can still get signed up for it. And, hey, what's cool is you get free lodging. There are still a couple of spots left. There's a really cool bunkhouse that they have at Fort Discovery. And, whew, man, what a... Hey, by the way, if you want to learn about Fort Discovery, go to fortdiscoveryusa.com. That's fortdiscoveryusa.com. It reminds me of Boy Scout camp for shooters. Now, I went to Boy Scout camp a lot. I was a Boy Scout when I was younger. When I was a real young man and an older kid, younger man, whatever, however you want to classify them. And this is like a fancy, fancy Boy Scout camp for shooters. Really cool. And they've had some really elite shooters trained there from the Pacific Northwest area. I can't, you know, I'm not going to mention, I promised Joe that when you go there, you can see some of the people that have been there to shoot, but that's not really for public broadcasting. Anyway, we teach that, and I kind of got off on a tangent there, but sorry about that. But anyway, with these single stack 9mm, I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to really be fun. Okay, this is a good time for you to listen to a voicemail. So I got a voicemail, a real short one, from a listener recently. Here you go.
Hey, Bob, like your shirt, but listen, Starbucks, you were ranting and raving about how you love their coffee and everything. Well, that's one thing, but they are a supporter of Planned Parenthood. And if you've seen the videos out, you know that's not a good thing. So, we're boycotting them. There's a whole list of, like, 40 companies that give money to Planned Parenthood, and I intend to boycott them all. Thanks.
Okay, well, thanks for calling in that voicemail, sir. You know, I got to agree with this guy that called in. you know, my beliefs are that that is absolutely hideous, what Planned Parenthood is doing. It's murder, plain and simple. I don't know how else to put it. That's the way it is. That, and so I am not going to support that. So I did not know that Starbucks supports them, and if they do, if they send them money or support them, you know what? I can do without my Starbucks lattes. Yeah, besides that, they're too expensive anyway. Normally, when I used to stop at Starbucks, I'd be on a business trip, and so it would go on my expense report. I don't like to shell out my own money that much for a cup of coffee. But those lattes are pretty good. But you know what? If that's what Starbucks is doing, if they're supporting the hideous actions of a murderous organization like Planned Parenthood, then I'm not going to support them anymore. Yeah, that's right. I said they're a murderous organization because that's what I believe it is. It's murder. Okay? And I have a right to say that. And you know what? I guess if it offended somebody, oh well. The truth is something I'm going to always stand for, whether it offends somebody or not. So thanks for calling in that voicemail, sir. And thanks for ending my drinking of lattes at Starbucks. Okay, I'm leaving the gun show. I am on the way home. All right, while I was at the gun show, here's what I did. I did go over to Sparks Firearms, and I bought another Smith & Wesson Shield 9mm from Ben Branham. You know, the one I gave my son has those nice Trijicon sights. The name of them is escaping me. Trijicon HD. Sights with the cool orange dot front sight, but I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to try some other sights on this shield, on the one that I just now got. No thumb safety shield, by the way. No thumb safety. That's my style. That's the way I roll with a carry gun. No safeties whatsoever. Point and shoot, pretty much. I think I can live with a passive safety like a grip safety on an XD or XDS, but I think that's about the only safety I can live with. And I'm going to test that some more. Of course, when I do this single stack challenge, I will be testing to see if that safety hinders me in any way. A lot of people say it doesn't. Most people say, never been a problem with any of the XD pistols. I'm going to find that out. I'm going to put it through its paces and see where it gets me. And of course, if it's a hindrance for me, I'm not going to be carrying it. And if it's a hindrance for me, I'll give it a new home. But if it's not, then all is good. Okay, the other thing I did at the gun show is I got something I have been wanting to get for years. I bought a lever action 357 38 special small little rifle. I was trying to find a Marlin, a lightweight Marlin, but I couldn't. I was trying to find like an 1894C. Those things are just difficult to find at a reasonable price anymore. I found a guy that was selling Rossi. So I bought a Rossi 357 38 special. And yeah, I know it's not considered the highest quality lever action rifle that you can buy, or lever action. Is it lever or lever? That's an interesting question, right? Lever or lever? A 38 Special 357 Rossi lever action rifle. And this little guy is short. It is short. Well, what purpose is it serving? It is serving as my easy to hide inside my Honda gun. And that's what I meant it to be. It's my easy to hide inside my Honda gun. I don't want to be traveling around with my two AR-15s if I can help it, unless there's a real reason to go somewhere with my AR. I figure, hey, with whatever pistol I am carrying on my person, which is going to be the fastest, easiest access, bar none. You know, folks, if you're carrying a gun in your glove box, in your console, in your trunk, in my opinion, forget about that gun. I think when the stink goes down, The odds of you being able to get to that firearm, if you've got it stowed away in a glove box or a console or a trunk, the odds of you being able to get to that are quite slim. Quite slim. So, this gun is so small, I can hide that pretty nicely. And I'm going to have to get creative about putting it in my Honda. I'm going to have to figure out a way how to do it out of sight, out of mind, without putting it in the trunk. But it's so small, I'm going to play around with it. I think I might be able to disguise it in here. And I'll let you know. I'll report back. And if nothing else, if I can't figure that out, it's just something I've always wanted to have. So if it's not going to be a vehicle gun, it's just something I have always wanted to have again. A 38 357 Magnum lever action. And I tell you what, 357s, I bought some of the Hornady 140 grain lever evolution ammo. Ammo like that, or some of the Buffalo Boar 357, that stuff out of a, you know, about a 16-inch barrel is what this thing's got. That 357 Magnum, that's got some really decent ballistics out of a barrel like this. I mean, you know, people take deer with it. It's been reported that you can get pretty close to 30-30 ballistics with more capacity than a 30-30. So, I like it. Eh, what the heck. You know, it's something I've always wanted to have. And this is a gun that I'll probably never get rid of just because it's kind of fun. Like I said, not the highest quality thing. You know, I think it's got a decent warranty here. And yeah, you know, if the thing malfunctions on me, I'll take it to a smith and have him slick it up a little bit. But nice, handy little gun. By the time you hear this podcast, I'll probably be at the range or pretty close to being at the range to try that thing out. So that's what I did at the show. Okay, next, I want to talk about the Louisiana theater shooting. I know I'm late to the party, but, you know, I made the mistake of making comments on these types of events before all the facts come out. I've done that in the past, and I'm not going to do that anymore. And I don't know if all the facts are out. We still might learn some things. But here, once again, here's what we know about the Louisiana theater shooting, where a very disturbed person went into a theater and killed two people and wounded several others in Lafayette, Louisiana. Another common denominator. It's a gun-free zone. Another common aspect here. It's a gun-free zone. What's it gonna take? What's it going to take? And all the gun controllers, all the gun banners, they're all like, well, they got to have more laws. Yeah, as if the 20,000 gun laws that we have right now, as if that's not enough. We got to have more. And if one or two more gun laws are passed, well, then that's certainly going to stop these nutbags from going into gun-free zones and shooting people, won't it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess so. You know, how come I haven't thought of that? How come somebody else hasn't thought of that, you know, before? How come the common sense of Congress hasn't taken over? And, man, I tell you what, you know, we've just got to have those one or two more gun laws. Yep, that's the answer, isn't it? And that's going to stop these disturbed people from going to a gun-free zone and shooting people. Oh, man, we should have known. Oh, man, what a joke this is, you know, just what a joke. But anyway, folks, always be prepared. Always be prepared. My suggestion, stay away from gun-free zones. You want to go to a movie that's a gun-free zone? Wait and get the movie when it comes out on demand, on Netflix, on Roku, DVD, Hulu, whatever it is that you use. Wait. That's what I say. You know, why risk it going to a gun-free zone if you don't have to? Okay, well, with that, I'm going to wrap it up. This has been a relatively short episode, but that's okay, because I don't want to be rambling, and I know that you guys don't want to listen to people that just drone on and on and on about the same kind of stuff, and there are people out there No, I'm not going to be mentioning any names, but I've heard some podcasts like that. Probably nobody that you know real well, because most of the podcasts that seem to last well are interesting, well thought out. The podcaster or presenter does a good job of making points, making them eloquently, and then moving on to the next one. So, folks, you know, I just want to say this. Make sure that you're a member of a quality gun rights organization. Second Amendment Foundation, NRA, Gun Owners of America, your state and rifle association, Right to Keep and Bear Arms associations. Please support these people. Recently, I made a donation to the Second Amendment Foundation. I also donated to John Lott's Crime Prevention Center. And, you know, folks, you get to listen to these podcasts like mine and many of the other fine podcasts out there. You get to own guns. We have great freedoms here in America. In many states, you don't even have magazine restrictions. In some states, you don't even have to get a license to carry your gun. Why is that? It's all because of gun rights organizations, gun advocacy organizations, and because they are supported and supported well. So please do that. Oh, say, by the way, something I got to say about gun advocacy. I got to say something about Facebook. Facebook has really ticked me off. You can follow me on Facebook if you want. I'm Handgun World Podcast on Facebook. Just search Handgun World Podcast. If you want to follow me personally on my personal Facebook page, I have a Bob Main Facebook page. And I don't usually post a lot of gun stuff up there. I post personal opinions, things that are going on with me that I want the public to know about. And I put that on my Bob Main Facebook page. But if you want to follow all the stuff about this show and about the things I happen to like about guns and don't like about guns, I put those on Facebook at my Handgun World Podcast Facebook. But they've really ticked me off. I ran an ad on Facebook recently. I ran an ad for our Seattle class. And the next day, Facebook cut my ad off. They said I couldn't. This is a paid ad, by the way. I'm paying them money. I paid them money to advertise. You know what they did? They cut me off. This is the third time they've done this. They canceled my ad because they said I violated their anti-gun policy, basically. And their anti-gun policy is they will not allow advertising that has anything to do with guns, accessories, ammunition, firearms, accessories, or anything. So I wrote them back and I said, I am not advertising guns. I'm advertising a training class. It's an event. And their policy even says that gun advocacy is okay to advertise, and, you know, seminar events and things like that are okay to advertise. Well, that's what I did. I advertised a class. But I guess because my name is Handgun World Podcast, and it says handgun in it, or because it says something about a firearm training, they didn't like that. Facebook didn't like that. So, you know what? Facebook can, Facebook can do something with that I don't want to say publicly on air. But that upsets me a lot. And I'm through with giving Facebook one more cent of any of my money. I'll still use Facebook and post it, but they're real knuckleheads. They are. They just are. I know Facebook is successful. I know the founder of Facebook is wildly successful, but, you know, yeah. You know what they can do with their policy and what they did to me and my ad for a class. So with that said, I'll close now. And I want to just let you know, I'm Bob Main. Don't forget to support this show. I don't have any sponsors. I purposely don't run a bunch of commercials on this show. There's several ways you can support me. You can make your Amazon purchases on my Amazon store. If you don't have my Amazon store saved in your browser, all you got to do is go to handgunworld.com. click the Amazon store page, and there's a link there for you to follow. Amazon sends me some small commissions whenever you folks purchase. And thank you. It's a nice support to have. Many of you are doing it, and I appreciate that. You can certainly sign up for one of our classes in the state of Washington, Ohio, and the San Antonio, Texas area coming up. And you can sign up for those at handgunworld.com. And you can also become a member of our Shooters Club. We got a new video up there on shotguns and working up a shotgun load for defensive purposes. Ben and I did that. That's a collaborative effort that Ben Branham and I put together. So you can support us both by becoming a member of the Shooters Club for either $75 a year or $8 per month. Yeah, you can do it monthly. $8 a month or $75 per year. If you want to call in a voicemail like people often do, my number is 210-646-1727. That's 210-646-1727. I'm Bob Main. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Handgun World podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Talk to you next week. Goodbye.